All right, welcome to the Draft
Hello,
JPG.
everybody. Sorry, Zach.
Said welcome to the Draft Champions podcast. Do you want to take this away, Rick, or what's going on here?
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the Draft Champion Odds podcast. This is Rick Poundstone, and I just figured we'd start the show. I put out a tweet and asked everybody if they had any questions for me personally. And I just want to start with Ryan, Marsha Ryan. He said, "How are you doing there, bud?" Marsh, I am doing well. I hope you are too. And I got one other question from, it looks like a Tone Jald. He says now that Lou Bob is gone, do you have any other really good friends? Has Mike Moth ever replied to your calls? The answer to that is no. The Snake Man and I do not have a kinship yet, but we are trying. And I want to thank those men for reaching out to me. And Zach, you can now take it away.
All right, thanks, Rick. That was painless. So, James Maples, we got you on. Introduced you as one of the 14 players in the last 5 years to take down two main events in the same season. So that's you're quite an accomplished player. You're a smart player. After meeting you and talking to you, you're a good guy and wanted to have you on the podcast. Don't think you've been on a podcast, so I figured why not? How you doing?
Good. How are you, man? Yeah,
I'm
I've never
good.
been on a podcast. This is the second Zoom call because I tested it with my wife before I came on. So,
Cool. Well, I'm glad to be your second after your wife.
sloppy seconds.
You know what? So we're just gonna run through some questions. We haven't done a lot of podcasts recently, and I figured to get back in the game. And Rick really wanted to get back in the game. He's a little bit rusty on his IT skills. So Rick, as you know, Rick Poundstone, he's our IT manager, I guess. If you ever get logged off, he helped you get onto the Zoom. So let's get right into it. We got some listener questions, and we'll just run through them. We got a lot of listener questions, so thanks for everyone for submitting the questions. First one, let's get right into it. Aaron Pags, I know he's trying to fuck with me. I know he's trying to elicit a response. He says, "This is Aaron Pags from Reliever Recon. You know, Greg Jewett and Bullpen Guru. You know, subscribe to Reliever Recon. Fuck it. This podcast is brought to you by Reliever Recon. We can say whatever we want. Sure. This
I
podcast
just
is."
want to announce tonight's podcast is brought to you by reconnaissance relievers.
Great. So he says, I've heard listeners say over and over they want to hear the player's name throughout the commentary. So how about 2 hours and 16 minutes of just saying player names since you're a man of the people? Well, you know what, Aaron? You're going to get a response from me on this for sure. And you hear people, oh, why don't you repeat the player name? I can't remember that. And then you got all these like podcasters saying, oh my God, I'm going to try to do better. I will try to do better. But you know what? Anyone asking a podcast to repeat a player's name is incredibly stupid. Like the dichotomy of the situation is underrated. The listener deems what was being said about a player so crucial that he demands the name to be repeated. Yet at the same time, he was also paying so little attention that he can't even recall the player's name. And I'll prove to you why it's so stupid. If you're not paying enough attention to that part of the way through some analysis, you don't even know what's going on or what's being talked about. How are you processing this information anyways? You really have no clue what's going on. If it's so important, you need the name repeated, you probably have to go back and listen to the whole thing anyway. So just rewind it. So in conclusion, go fuck yourself, and you probably need to rewind it anyways. So that's what, James, you got anything about that? You got anything to add to
No,
that?
I mean, yeah, you can always rewind it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, so I think we're in lockstep there, right?
Yeah.
Rick, you got
Should we? Should we? Well, I wanted to say, should we get into whether it's pronounced Luis Robert or Luis Robert? I think maybe we still need to go on that
Yeah, I don't
fucking.
think so. Okay, so let's move on to next question is, well, that's not really a question, but maybe it spurred suggesting the question. It's from our good friend Gecko Industries on Twitter. And James, I see that you purchased Taj in the main event, Taj Bradley. All else being equal, will be well, maybe we'll get Gecko on the podcast sometime soon again on today. All else being equal, Taj or Jordan Walker, who would you rather hold if you had both of them?
If I had both of them, I would probably pick Taj to hold. I just think starting pitcher is it's just not as deep, and I think you can replace a Walker faster than you can replace a Taj myself.
I agree with that. Who do you think would cost more if like both of them are dropped and then they would, they're in the player pool and they're called back up. Who do you think costs more? Well, to add?
I mean, Walker might cost more, but I wouldn't be bidding more for him.
Right on. Now, Rick, I think you bought Taj in the NFC as well, right? And you're a Cardinals fan?
I bought Taji Bartley, yep. And I paid $252, and I've got him. He's been sent down. Now, hey, this is the devil rays. So anything they do, I support. This is the smartest organization in baseball. You know, they were forced into wearing a patch last year. They, you know, believe in free speech. Some of them didn't want to wear it. Smartest organization, most stand-up men in baseball. So what's your question?
Would you rather have, as you alluded to, that the sex pig, Jordan Walker or Taj Bradley? Same question to you.
Oh, I would much rather have Tasmanian Bradley, because he is a pitcher. We're having a lot of struggles with pitching this year. Jordan Walker, who's the number one hitter based on ownership in my league right now that's a free agent? Mark Canaw. Now, is Mark Canaw good? No. Can I replace Jordan Walker with him easily? Yes. If I get rid of Taj Bradley, who do I pick up? I don't know. Wade Miley?
I got you. Okay, next question is from Bart Perry. And he says, is it time to shift to a relief pitcher strategy instead of these shit streamers? I'm paraphrasing there. Now, I've actually thought about this like right from the get-go. Like, do you just like get these relievers and pack like four relievers into your starting lineup? That, like, you could have gotten Brian Abreu at the beginning of the year and guys like, I don't know, like Nick Anderson. What do you think about that? Are you going to fall too much behind in wins and Ks or wins?
Yeah, now? I mean, I think that's the problem is you're just going to fall way too far behind in wins and Ks. And if you're trying to make it up in the summer months, I just think it's a fool's errand. I drafted Abreu in several leagues and we dropped him because he was the last round pick and we didn't hang on to him. I'm kind of wishing we did now, but it's just like you have injuries and you've got to make your decisions. But I'm not going to stream a bunch of relief pitchers that aren't getting saves. I'm just not personally going to do that.
Yeah, I drafted Abreu in, I think, a lot of the leagues, and I dropped him too. I could see him being like one of those most added, most dropped players all throughout the year because Presley got a save, I think, yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's people are worried for good reason, I guess. But what do you do with Abreu if you're 2 weeks from today and he hasn't got a save since his last one? What do you do with him? Is he's cut bait for the next best thing? You're cutting him again for like Logan Allen, yeah, and Tanner Bibby and whoever the next.
Yeah, you've got to turn and hope you hit on something. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I picked up Miller in several leagues on this fab run, and he looked really bad in the inning, but
the first inning was bad.
Yeah,
but the rest of it wasn't as bad. We'll see. But if he's not gonna, as a wise man texted me the other day, he said to me, if he's not going to pitch five innings, then what good is he?
Yeah,
but I don't know. I think he's all right. I think he looked okay, but it's just a matter of he's going to get.
I think he can get five innings. I just think he's got to get out of the first without his pitch count getting so damn high. So
yeah, that's true. All right, let's go on to Daniel from Israel. He's asking, can I drop these players? This is relevant in like a 15 teams. He asked me in a 14 or a 16. So we're just going to go with 15 in these normal leagues. I don't know what the fuck he's playing. But
what about 17? Right,
so James, Rick, yes or no, are you dropping Steven Matz? This was a late question.
Yeah, no. I don't have a problem dropping him.
Yeah, I'd dump him too. Hey, Rick, you're a Cardinals fan. Are you dumping Matz?
I'm not taking a dump on Matz. And the reason I say that is because this guy, if you watch him pitch, now look, have the results been good so far? No. I kind of hate him a little bit. But if you do watch him pitch, okay, he's got the stuff. He's throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball sitting 94, 95 right now from the left-hand side. He's got a good breaker. He's got good stuff. He just keeps getting himself in trouble because he Well, I'll say it. He pussyfoots around. He doesn't try to put anybody away. He looks kind of like an immature teenager. He kind of has that sport, Paulie Shore type look. And I just, you know, he has to man up, ball up, and throw strikes. So I am not, you know, and the other thing is, what? Tell me right now, either one of you gentlemen, and I challenge anybody, Dustin and Israel or whatever his name is, what situation would you rather have a pitcher be in than on the St. Louis Cardinals? The defense, the home park, I'm not dropping mats, but, you know, if you do, I'll pick them up.
All right, and, okay, let's, we got four others, and I think this is, Rick, your segment. I think it's called Excruciating Dumps.
And yes, Excruciating Dumps.
So these four players, like, it's hard to drop them, so this is, so, James, are you going to take an excruciating dump with Braxton Garrett? Or are you holding it in? Are you holding it in?
I'm probably holding Braxton Garrett.
Yeah. Is it going to hurt to hold him? Or is it, do you think, I agree. I think I'd hold him.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think I picked him in the last round of one of my mains and I held him the whole time. So, I mean, I think he's a talented pitcher. It's just, and he's got a good home ballpark. So, yeah, I'm holding him.
All right. Next. Kenta Maeda, excruciating dump or hold?
I'm dumping him.
I'm dumping him too. Rick, what do you say?
He's got to be dumped. I think he's likely headed to the IL. Look, this guy's had a problem every damn outing. It's his back, my neck, my back, my, you know, I can't finish that, but he, you know, he's got a problem everywhere. He's got a comebacker, hit him in the shin. Hey. I used to love the kind of pitcher he was, a cerebral Buscemi, but the days are over. And speaking of over, we've got Bailey Ober.
Okay. Nice one.
And yes, he's in AAA. He's going to come right up for the Twin Club. And yeah, I'm dumping Kenny Maeda.
All right.
Yeah, I picked up Ober in one of my leagues this week, so.
Yeah, I don't think Ober is available in too many of my leagues. I got him in two of them. I forget which ones, but yeah, I think he's a wise, sharp pickup. Next one that in the game that we're playing is excruciating dump or hold Peyton Battenfield.
I'll dump him. He didn't look good the last outing. I actually watched part of it.
Yeah, he's donezo. I agree. There's too many people there. Like I don't know. I don't have his schedule. Yeah, off the top.
I mean, he's got talented pitchers waiting in the wings. I mean, if he doesn't perform, he's gone anyways. And I don't know. I wasn't impressed with what I saw when I watched him live.
Oh, you watched him live?
Well, no, I'm saying.
Oh, just on the TV. You watched the game. Yeah, yeah, I didn't watch the game, but just like, I don't know. There's too many people that that could come up, and like McKenzie's coming back. They got Logan Allen. They got Bibby. They got Gavin Williams. Just like how, like, I haven't looked at his recent schedule, but how long, like if he's got like what, two good starts, like two good matchups coming up that you could get excited about starting him for, he probably blows up in one of them and maybe he's good in the other one. Good luck with that. So yeah, no, I'm dumb. I'm dumb. Excruciating dumb. Rick.
I've never heard of this player.
Okay. Trey Mancini is the last guy from Daniel.
Yeah. I'm holding, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I might be walking funny, but I'm holding him too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm getting out of the spot, so it's not been a fast start for sure.
Yeah, well. Rick, are you holding Mancini?
Who does he play for?
Cubs.
There's my point. Drop.
All right, more from Bart Perry. He's similar. Will these players lose their job? He's like, can you play a game of will these players lose their job? And one of them was Tyler O'Neill. So we'll just go with the entire Cardinals outfield: Tyler O'Neill, Newbar, Burleson. I guess who's going to lose the job, because it's probably going to be one of them eventually. James, who do you think? Most likely.
I think it's more of just like moving guys around, and I think they're all going to lose a little bit of time. I think Burleson is he strictly DH? I don't think he's good in the field. O'Neill, I mean, he went sideways with the manager Marmol, and he's just not getting to play every day. And Newbar, I mean, he's got the skills. He's got the on-base skills, and I like him, but I just don't – I mean, I don't have a single share of Burleson, Newbar. I think in the first DC I did this year, I think I bought Tyler O'Neill just because I thought he was I think I got him in the eighth round or seventh round or something. So I liked him there, but I thought he was going to get to play every day.
Right. What about if you had to pick between Tanner Bibby and Logan Allen on the Indians?
It's Bibby for me.
Yeah. Rick, have you heard any of either of them?
Oh, certainly. You got to go with the baby or the Bibby. And on the previous question with the Cardinals outfield, I feel I'm a bit more qualified on this one. So, you know, you've got the fun name prophecy. All right. Lars Nuttbar. You know, you got the Metallica reference. You got the Lars Ulrich. You know, I know he's a decent drummer, but he's, you know, also the Nuttbar name. Oh, he was in the WCB doing all these funny hand things with Shoyotny and stuff like that. This guy was solely pumped up draft boards because he has a funny name. No, I am not making that up. No, I am not kidding. You know, Ackle Badu. All these guys, you know, with funny names, people get pushed them up the board. So, yeah, I don't have any nut bar either, so I congratulate. You know, and I want to ask, can I call him Mr. Syrup? You know, Mr. Maples, you know, maple syrup. I don't know. He has a southern twang, and I like it, and I wanted to call him Mr. Syrup. But, I agree. Star?
I said, you're not bothering me with it.
All right, cool. Well, I just went into a southern thing there. But yeah, I don't have any nut bar either. And it's because of the name and the Cardinals outfield. Look, Alex Burleson, he is a slob. If you've ever seen this man, he is Lance Berkman incarnate as a young man. No young man should look like a big sloppy mess. He does. Get him out of there. We sent the sex pig walker down. Tyler O'Neill, beautiful. Beautiful body. Adonis should be playing every day. And yeah, if it were up to me, I'd have three Tyler O'Neills out there.
So who do you think is in better shape just looking? Burleson or Kurt? Alejandro Kurt.
Oh fuck.
Oh. Well, you know, one of them's got a little bit of a little person type situation going on there. Now, Burleson doesn't have that. I'd say Alex Burleson's probably doing better there.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree.
I'd agree with that too. Jose Siri, is he going to lose part of his job? Like, he's back now, but like, that's trouble. You got, what's his name? Curtis Meade coming up eventually. He's going to start taking up some at bats. Like, everyone was slobbing over Siri's knob and they're wishing they drafted him when all the smart people drafted him. But are they still regretting that or regretting not getting him?
I had some of Siri last year, and I don't know if the hit tool's there. That's me personally. I just don't know if he can hit for a long period of time. So I think the Rays are going to Ray. And if he's not producing, he'll be gone, or he'll be playing less.
The people will argue that he's great defensively. He hits the ball really hard, and he's like a 10, 20, or 10, 15, 30 profile if he plays not even every day. So it's a matter is like, is this guy getting hit 175?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I don't have much of him either, especially not in any significant drafts, but yeah. Rick, any thoughts on Siri?
You know, this is a guy, he's a sex pig. I mean, everybody's into him and everything. Who do I want? I want Emmanuel Escargot.
No, he's worse. He's even worse, man.
No. He is a Buscemi. He's a prime Buscemi. He's getting paid. He's going to steal 20 bags this year. Yes, give me Emmanuel Escargot.
Can't stay healthy. Same problem the Rays.
Healthier than Siri.
I don't want to
hear it. Hey, Siri, tell me what, you know, anyway.
Yeah, good one. What about David Robertson? Or Ryan Presser? Let's lump those into one big question. Who's more likely to lose their job, David Robertson or Ryan Presser?
I would probably say Robertson. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a shared saver thing right now. I mean, Ottavino, how many saves does Ottavino have? I think, did he save one last night?
I'm not sure, but he's got a bunch in the last week or so.
Yeah, yeah.
At least two in the last while. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. So before we move on to, I guess Phil Dussault has a question for us. Before we move on to his question, Rick.
Yes.
Is there something that you needed to do? You want to get into any of your shit? Break things up?
If you want, I can get into the dog pound here. I've got my wife, Maggie, looking at me, and it's an extra special episode to kind of give you an update of where our lives are at right now. So,
okay. So, yeah. And, James, have you ever heard Rick's dog pound before?
No.
Okay. Well, here it comes.
I don't know if the music's coming through, gentlemen. Can you hear it?
No.
Good. Okay. Well, here we are. My Poundstone clan is out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we are here, and Maggie wanted to do a dog pound segment tonight. I don't know why this is relevant for air, but I'll let her go. Here, honey.
Thank you. So, okay, I want to let everybody know that I am forcing Rick to be a baby now. He is now going to be the brother to what was his previous son, Rick Jr. Now do it for me, baby.
Okay, yeah, she wants me to act like a little boy. I don't know what this satisfies for her. I don't exactly know what it is, but I've been emasculated since I have been out here in Nadeva. And
just a-
hey, I goo goo gaga, mama, can I please have some orange juice? Oh, listen to this fucker. Will you get out of here? Hey, this is, that's my cuck dad. This is Rick Jr. And, I just wanted to pipe in real quick, say, hey, boys. And I wanted to say out here in, my buddies and I, we call it Las Vegas. we have a Magic the Gathering tournament, every week here, on Thursday nights. And if any of you, you know, fuckheads out there want to come take us on, my dad will run and get us some Mountain Dew. And, I'll unleash my creatures on your ass. So, yeah, that is the Poundstone Magic the Gathering tournament every Thursday night. So, yeah. Here you go. Okay, boys. That was my son.
You're done
there? My brother. Yeah, go ahead. Who let the dogs out? Who, who?
Okay. All right, Phil Dussault. Thanks, Rick, and your family. Just make sure you edit that out, please. Phil says, list 100 players you would pick up in a waterfall if you owned Garrett Mitchell. So he's joking. He wants us to list 100 players that you'd put in your like bid queue or whatever if you had Garrett Mitchell to like basically to make sure you drop the player. Because there was a debate out there saying like, how can you not drop like Chris Bubik's still 4% owned in the main event? Ohapi's like 19% owned in the main event. Springs is like 11% owned. Like, how do these guys still have these guys in their team with like $200,000 on the line? Can you understand that? Like, why are you hanging on to them?
No, I mean I can't understand it. I can't say that I've not had something like that happen to me in the past when I just didn't put enough conditional bids in. So.
So Phil, yeah, no, Phil wants to do that, and he wants us to list 100 players. But we're not going to do that. But basically, what I do when I import my watch list because I'm using the new NFBC feature, then I import the watch list, and if I have a player that's like dead, like a Ohapi, or not Ohapi, that's a bad example because he's a catcher. If like a Garrett Mitchell, if he's out for the season, I'll put my entire watch list and I'll order it and basically have like 50 players on that drop list, and I don't know if some people know, but you can like sort of like copy that bid and basically you don't need, some people still do like an add drop for every single player you're adding for that drop. So like they have a different queue for Garrett Mitchell, like 50 times. You don't need to do that. You can basically just, there's a button that you can click and it sort of drags it down. You can bid on all the players you want to add for Garrett Mitchell. And then you can copy that bid for Garrett Mitchell and just change your drop for a claim list number two. And then just change the player. And let's say you're dropping Manny Margot because he sucks. And then you can just take out some players at the you can take out some players at the end of that list that you don't want to add for Manny Margot. Some of them might be better than him. Anyway, somebody was asking me that. Anyways, Phil Dussault says list 100 players. We're not going to do that. But similarly, we have a similar question that might be answerable. Roto Ronnie asks, who are the best stashes? Playing off of Phil's real question for real, who are some $1 players, like just in case players that you would add like at the end of your bid queue this week? Sort of like if you had added Brian Abreu or Sawinski last week for like a dollar, you probably could have gotten for a dollar in week four, but in week five, they became very much more expensive. Who can you see being those players this week?
Okay, so I wrote down a few guys. I actually looked in the ultimate auction that I'm in with Phil and just wrote down a few guys. So I got Kyle Isbell, Charlie Blackmon, Myers from Houston, Diaz from Oakland. I really like Eddie Rosario from Atlanta and his playing time, and he's heating up a little bit. It looks like it's a little better.
You drafted him and dropped him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because I was standing there when you were in the reserve rounds, and I was standing behind you and Cerebro, and I remember I was there when you picked Rosario. Sorry to interrupt.
No. But like Akil Baddoo, if he gets full run, I mean he can do it all. Pavin Smith, if you need speed, Garrett Hampson, he's been getting to play more lately, and a guy that I've not been able to let go of yet is Oscar Gonzalez. But I think he's available in that league in that ultimate. So Nick Senzel isn't, but I'm a big Nick Senzel fan. I think that he's just a highly, what was he, number two overall? And he really doesn't have a platoon split. And I think that they could give him full run. And he actually looks healthy. And I think he had a sock and a shoe just the other day. So
nice. I like that term.
I call that a combo meal.
Yeah.
You know.
I'd call it a dong and a snatch.
Frank Stanford, is it Stanford? I can't remember. From CBS, he calls it a sock and a shoe. That's
Frankie. I won't do that.
it's already got a name. It's already got a name. And I want to shout out Eric Carabell. And was that who he was? Nate Ravitz or I don't know. Some ESPN guy. Yeah. Eric Caribbean. And
Raven guy,
Tristan Cock, is it Cockcraft?
Cockcroft.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right, no, those are some good names, James. I know that if you're in that league with Phil, I know he likes some of those guys are guys that he liked at one point. I know, like that group of guys. I know Isbell and Oscar Gonzalez, but those guys have kind of fallen out of favor, so. Probably still have them pretty cheap. So our good friend, next, the question comes from our good friend, Michael Kurland. He has this great, great bit that he does these days on Twitter. We can get into that later, but he asks how to decide when to stash versus drop, which is sort of a question we've already answered. But then he also asks how early should you react to standings and perceived needs? Like, are you right now, are you looking at like what you need in terms of like categorical needs yet?
Well, I think when you come out of the draft, you kind of know where your shortcomings are. And you can look at the standings and you can see like sometimes you'll think you'll be short speed and you might have a guy go off and that you didn't think was going to steal a bunch of bags. But I mean, I think it's still too early to react, but I think if you know you're starting one save guy, you need to be on the lookout for another save guy. I think if you're, you know, if you're in the bottom half of the stolen bases, you need to be aware of guys that are coming that could steal.
Right on. I think right now I'm still trying to like acquire good talent. It's still early enough. So I'm looking to, I'm not really looking at my categories right now. I think I did what I can, unless I have like, unless I drafted like, an Estuary Ruiz and he died, but that hasn't happened yet. So yeah, no, I'm just trying to acquire good players right now. For the most part, who we got next here? Rushing baseball. Hitter lineup optimization. For example, the best way to decide if you should start a pretty good player with three games versus an okay player with four games. How do you weigh splits, opponent strength, etc.? James, got any thoughts on that?
Okay, so I team up with a guy named Derek Oren. He's from North Dakota. We met in the Maine. He was in a Maine with me like a couple years ago, and we do fab together, and this is really something that he specializes in. He kind of tells me this, and we just have a discussion. I mean, you know, a lot of times you're going to want to go with the guy that has the four games, unless there's just a big discrepancy in the talent.
Yeah, I think bird in the hand often plays. Like if a player is like if I see a catcher that's like not playing the first game because he's banged up, like I'll often just put in anyone that I can, like in a DC. You're a DC player too, right?
Yeah, I've not had as much success as a lot of you guys, but yeah.
I haven't had a ton of success in the DCs. I'm just happy to break even and have some fun in those DCs. All right. Dan Stafford, good guy, asks, which analysts are getting the most wrong this season? maybe that's a question for Rick. Rick, which analysts are getting the most wrong this season, asks Dan Stafford.
Well, I know a few days ago, somebody had tweeted about, you know what? It was my best friend, my best friend Pete Cheat, draft cheat on Tweeter. He tweeted about how Sean Murphy, the Atlanta Braves catcher, should have been released five games into the year, and the two men on a podcast were saying that they'd consider dropping him for, I don't even remember, some slob that probably already got demoted or something.
Francisco Alvarez, it was.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, might as well be whatever, gone to the minors. But yeah, that was Jason Mason and Pauly Shore. So I mean, I don't know how much else they've gotten wrong, but that's one thing that I can say.
Okay, fair enough.
Now who put out those rankings of fantasy? Was that somebody put out rankings of fantasy analysts recently? I don't know if that's still available to look at.
I don't know, James. Do you see that?
Was it the one you'd be most likely to have a beer with? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that's what Rick is referring to.
Okay. Yeah. And I think Scott White was number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick, are you going somewhere with this? Are you leading?
No. Well, you brought up, Dad Stafford's question was about who's gotten the most wrong or whatever. I just know that there was a list put out that ranked them in terms of how good they are. I don't know if it was a beer contest or a who's the smartest one contest, but we generally know who's, you know, kind of full of shit and who actually knows what they're talking about. So,
okay. I won't ask you to name any more names. You've done enough damage. Jared Lentz asks, the big enough bust slash injuries in the first 15 rounds that are better off dropping for $1 or $2 level free agent replacement. And, this is similar to Rick's question. Rick, you asked a question here too. What to do with Tyler O'Neill, pig, dump, or stash? So I guess we'll just say, like, are these players worthy to dump for like $1 or $2 players that may be on the waiver wires? Tyler O'Neill, James, would you drop Tyler O'Neill?
I mean, I would have to be like, have several injuries to drop Tyler O'Neill this early.
Okay.
Like, I would be really not having, like, I'd have to have Justin Verlander and, you know, like a Carlos Rodon and just several guys that I'm waiting on that I think I don't really want to let loose. So, I mean, like I say, I'm not a big Tyler O'Neill guy, but I mean, he's a four category player for sure.
Yeah.
If he gets playing time.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't drop him. I guess, like, similarly, Tristan McKenzie, is he somebody that you'd be less likely to hold on to?
Now, I avoided him. I don't have a single share of him in any of my leagues.
Smart.
But I mean, I'd probably be holding because I've got similar guys. Like, I mean, I paid $14 right before the news broke that, who's the guy from New York that got hurt?
Severino?
Severino, yeah. I paid $14 in the ultimate for Severino, and then the next morning I woke up to that he wasn't going to start. He was going to start the season on the IL, so.
Well, why did you avoid McKenzie? What was about him before the injury that you didn't like?
I didn't like the price point where he was going in the draft. I mean, I liked shittier guys like Lance Lynn in that area and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I've got a lot of Lance Lynn. So
that's not looking too good right now.
It's not looking good at all, man. Well,
another, as Rick would say, slob, right?
He is very sloppy. He is a bit of a Buscemi, but yeah, absolute slop master. Definitely a man I'd have a beer with and certainly have a men's movie night with.
Okay. Excuse me. What about Edouard Julien and Zach Neto? I saw you added Neto a couple times for pretty good prices. James, you're not, I don't think you're dropping Zach Neto yet, but like Julien, you paid up for him. If you did, I don't think you did, but if you did.
No, like my buddy Derek Oren, he just said, man, he goes, I don't think he's going to be up long. So we just eliminated him. We didn't even want to catch him for a long time. But, I mean, I think he's a talented guy. I think he's got decent pop and he's got crazy on base skills. It's so crowded in Minnesota right now. It's just what it is. I think Kirilloff's coming back and it's not.
Kirilloff is toast. He's not doing jack shit this year.
I'm a believer, man. He's you up are? There with hell for me.
Well, people are afraid of the injury, but I think it's too crowded. I think he's falling behind like Larnach.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you stashing him?
Believer. I'm still a Kirilloff believer. I don't have him anywhere. Yeah. But
all right.
That guy that I might pick up if I was looking to replace Mitchell too. I didn't even say him. I don't even know if he's available in that league with Phil Dussault.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But he's not really, no one's really trying to stash him yet, but it could be, people will try soon.
Yeah.
Do you have any Ohtani?
No, I avoided Ohtani just for the sake that pitchers are already very volatile to getting hurt. And then and he's a hitter also. So it's just not my thing. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's unreal. He's just, I mean, if you watch him, it's almost unworldly. It's something else, but I don't have him, but you doing the next question.
Yeah, Winoker. Yeah, Ohtani is a utility or pitcher, and when? So how do you decide? I'll tell you. This week, I put him in as a pitcher against Oakland, and I didn't see how that ended, but I think he probably got the win if the score stayed reasonable. But he did give up 5 runs, more than runs that he'd given up all year. But I don't care. I was right because pitching is shit. It's the Oakland A's. It didn't work out, but you should have started him at pitcher this week. I know people said otherwise, but I disagree. And I still disagree, even though he got tagged.
I mean, I'm in agreement with you. I believe I'd be rolling him out as a pitcher more. I just think hitters are easier to replace than the pitchers, especially. I mean, he's elite, man. He's just elite. So I don't know. If I had him, I might be rolling him out as a pitcher right now.
Yeah, I think it's team dependent. Like, obviously, that's a cop-out answer, but yeah, no, I think definitely like 2 start weeks, yes. And then, man, I can't believe he got killed by Oakland. That's just so fucking stupid. All right. Let's talk about some fab strategy. I looked at your main events. You've spent about $100 in each league so far, except. You also bought Taj Bradley's one leagues, which brought your spending close to $300 in that league. But aside from him, you spent about $100. Now, like, you also got some Zach Neto, and let's just you've done three main events this year, and I think you're in the ultimate, and then I believe you did one OLAC 150 auction, and I skimmed through your teams, and I noticed Zach Neto and Taj Bradley on Taj on one of them. Now, were you sort of like on the low end of the range and just say like, you know what, these players, like, they could be good, but if I want to get them for a lower cost, then I think that they're going to average out, or did you think that you were going to get those players at that cost? Because I think you spent 50 or 60 on Neto and like 200 and I forget on Taj, 220-ish.
Yeah, I think we kind of went, me and Derek talked it over, and we were like, we wanted Taj, but we didn't want to just hamper our team for later for the rest of the season. But it's kind of like that Fred Zinke. I don't know if you listen to Fred and Jeff Zimmerman, but he talks about what you think will be the second bid. So, and that's kind of what we did. And we ended up with Neto more than I thought we would. But, you know, we went after Taj pretty hard in most of them. I think a lot of them we did 176, and we didn't get, I don't think we got any of them for 176.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was with Taj. I was about 176. This is where I was, and I got him. I'm in a lot of leagues, so I got him in like 6 out of 35. So I missed more often than I got him, but I did get him in some. But that's pretty much where I was at. And then Neto, yeah, I was similar to you, except I got some Julian. I got stuck with some Julian too, and I dropped him. You're obviously holding Taj Bradley, right?
Yes.
I think he's going to be up. I think he'd be back up soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think Srebro said, who wins their first three games and then gets demoted? So
I still haven't found an answer for that.
Yeah. It's tough.
I should have looked that up for the podcast. What else we got here? What about Jose Suarez? I saw you picked him up. I loved him because pitch mix change. I made a joke about it. I'm like, oh, like his velocity's up, pitch mix change. Like, what kind, you know, ADP 350? Like, it's a steal. Why not? And he's just been a fucking piece of garbage.
Yeah. I mean, just no semblance of the pitcher he was the second half at all. I mean, it's just, he just looks lost. I don't know if it's the, if it's the pitch clock or he's just trying to out shitty Lance Lynn at this point or what the deal is. It's rough.
It's bad. It's rough. You're dropping him again, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you can't beat Oakland. You're useless.
I was just questioning everything because like, I don't know if you looked at my owner's shares, but I own a ton of Luis Garcia. And yeah. I mean, he was a shit show the first three starts. And I was just thinking, well, maybe Suarez will just figure it out a little bit, but he hasn't. He hasn't at all. So,
no, not at all. But like, I don't know, Ohtani. Like, I guess Oakland A's are good. how much money?
And I saw that there was to that ball club, the Stupid Angels, dumbest franchise in the league. They did just call up that. Schulzuth or something. They called up some young pitcher that's in the bullpen. Now, will he take Josie Suarez's spot?
Well, I think Canning is in that rotation for now. He's proven enough. But yeah, that's Rick. That's a pretty sneaky name. I don't know if we might have to get you off this podcast because you're giving away too much good information, Rick.
Well, he just got called up. Isn't he a prospect? That Silseth? Or
yeah,
whatever.
He was up last year, but yeah, no, he could be a sneaky ad for a buck or two, right? And then see what happens.
I'll bleep it and post.
Yeah, Rick, you're IT, so yeah, you handle that. Bleep yourself
okay.
out.
Okay.
James, how much fab do you want to have left, like heading into the All-Star break and then heading into the last month of the year?
I don't know if I've got a set number. It's like I say, Derek Oren is my partner and he handles most of it. And then we talk about the bids. So, I run three restaurants and I don't have the time that a lot of these guys have. I probably don't have the time that you have to spend on it. So we usually talk it over, but I don't know. It just depends. Like if you like, I mean, we're going to be after, Bybee this this week, I'm sure. And it's just like, I don't know.
Just one every week.
Felt too much at the end of the season before, and we're like, what the hell are we going to do with this? And I think Corbin Carroll came up and he's like, well, we can get him. And I'm like, well, we don't even need stolen bases in one of those leagues. Last year we had grabbed, who's the guy from Miami that stole like
Dan Marino?
No.
Birdie.
Yeah, Birdie. We had gotten like 15 stolen bases from Birdie in like two or three weeks. Dan Marino, are
you kidding me?
Yeah, and then we were just in such a lead. I was just like, we don't even need Corbin Carroll because we just didn't need him at that point. We needed power more than we needed that, so we weren't even going after him. So, but we had a lot of money left over compared to our league mates. I think we were top in the league. So, anyways, it's just league dependent. I mean, like the people that save money and don't spend on a Taj Bradley or even like a Miller that came this week. I mean, I just, you can stream and you can churn and you can hope you find some diamonds and you probably will find a few here and there, but it's just, I just don't think you want to hang on to it for too long. So I don't know if I have an exact number. I don't have an exact number for you, Zach. So.
Yeah, I guess it's dependent on it's more not a number. It's who's available, I guess, is what you're saying. You say you run three restaurants. Do you want to plug them? Do you want to tell people to go head to your restaurants? No. How many people from Texas listen to this?
It's Pizza Heaven, and we have locations in Cisco, Eastland, and Breckenridge, Texas. So.
All right. Well, I don't know who listens to this. Russell Withers, head there.
I definitely love pizza. Now, have you met Mr. Rogan down there? I don't know if you've.
I haven't. I listen to his pod some. So
there you go. Okay.
He's one of my.
You far from Austin?
Fantasy baseball pod listens.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love the man.
All right. Do we have any other segments that we need to go through before? Because we're going to talk about. We're going to talk to James about his player shares, and then we're going to head into Jeopardy. Rick.
Well,
do we have anything?
Yeah, Zach. I regret to inform you. So we have a new, another guest coming on here just to make a sneak appearance, and you guys can drill him with some questions if you want to, but they tell me his name is Oliver Pinkerton. Okay. And I have him here. I'm going to go ahead and pot up his volume, and he's kind of a pitching whiz. He knows everything about pitchers, how the balls break and how, you know, what's going on with them and stuff. And he has a very special rating system that he says is maybe the most statistically advanced, you know, far beyond anything anybody else is doing. Just an incredible system that really can get, Mr. Syrup just talked about diamonds in the rough. Well, I think Oliver Pinkerton claims that he's got them for you. So let me bring him on up here. And Oliver, are you there? Hey, what's going on, guys? Oliver Pinkerton here.
Hey, I'm not prepped for this. I don't really have any questions for you, but nice to have you on the podcast. James is here. James Maples is here.
Some of these names down.
Well, I just want to let everybody know. If you guys have anything for me as far as a pitcher that you would like me to talk a little bit about, throw me a name, and I'll just kind of get into some analysis for you.
Can it be an injured player?
I prefer they be an active pitcher.
Okay, let's go with Zach Gallen.
Zach Gallen. Okay, so what we're dealing here with Zach Gallen is a bit of an apple blossom. So, what? Well, yeah, Zach Gallen is a little bit of an apple blossom. If you look deep into the numbers and everything, and the way that he goes about his business and how he looks and everything, we would call him an apple blossom.
Okay, James, do you have any names you want to throw at? Who's this? Oliver
Oliver Applebottom? Pinkerton.
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, how about Alec Manoa? What can we expect him to do the rest of the year?
Yes, well, the big blue jay. Yeah, we call him an Easter egg. He has got the shape of a man, you know, who is a little bit of an Easter egg shape, and he is, you know, we know that he likely does enjoy the chocolate bunnies and the, you know, the Cadbury eggs and things like that. So yeah, he is an Easter egg.
So how does that relate to like his skill set, like in terms of fantasy? Like how does that help you?
Well, you know, you got to dig under the hood a little bit, and I do have a paid service if you would. Excuse me.
Do we want to?
What is going on? I don't.
Under the
yeah,
hood.
I got one for him. Yeah, I got one for him. I, you know, maybe there's something that's on his paid service. Tell us a little bit about who's somebody that's been interesting so far. Who's like really breaking out right now? I'm trying. How about this Pablo Lopez from the Twins?
Ah, good one.
Yeah, well, yeah, we would call him a honeysuckle. And the reason that Pablo Lopez is a honeysuckle is because his skill set, kind of the way the trajectory of the ball goes and things like that, he's a honeysuckle. Okay, I don't get.
I had what one. What does that mean? I had one the other day. Like, I think Mason Miller is a juicy fruit because he like he's really good and really like appealing, but he doesn't last very long. You know, like the gum that like loses its flavor really quickly. So I think Mason Miller.
No. Nope. Actually, in our system, we rate him out as a Sour Patch Kid, and I don't even understand what any of this shit means. Now, you say Mason Miller's a Sour Patch Kid. How do I figure out what that means for him as far as, like, bidding and fab? Like, just get specific with me. What does – do I bid 200, 500? You know, what do I bid on him? Well, you know, he's a Sour Patch Kid. I'm not sure what else I have to say to you guys. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Let's get him out. Let's get that guy out of here, please.
Well, you know, don't you guys want to hear about the ginger snaps, the blue chews, the Tinkerbells, the dreamsicles, you know, the ladybugs? I've got all kinds of pitcher types here.
Who's a ladybug? Why don't we reverse it? Why don't we take the nickname and you give us who the player is?
Well, yeah, a prime ladybug. Yeah, Lance Lynn, a name that you mentioned earlier, is a prime ladybug. And the reason that we... All right, I can't do that. You know, I need specifics. I can't just hear these, you know, made up names. So,
yeah, this is not.
I went ahead. It's not useful. No,
we had.
Don't you guys want to hear who's a Dwight though, or a
yeah,
a prime Dwight? Actually, I misspoke earlier. Zach Gallen actually is a Dwight, and the reason that we say that is because he's got glasses on. You know, he has kind of a geek. You know, type look. So we call Zach Gallen a Dwight. Thank you, boys. This has been Oliver Pinkerton.
Okay, thanks.
I like the Dwight.
All right. So, You know what? One thing I wanted to mention about that we were talking about before we get into your player ownership is just like Taj Bradley. Then you had Mason Miller, and then we'll have Bibby this week. And I don't give a shit that I'm pronouncing it wrong because I know I am. I forget what they said. And somebody was
saying,
I think it's
Bibby. Yeah, no, it's Bibby. That's what I'm going to say. Like, sorry. Have you seen the movie Rocky III, where like Rocky, like he loses the first match against Mr. T. The second match, he's just like retiring him out. He's tiring him out. He's like, hit me, come on. That's all you got? You ain't so bad. So I sort of just want to like, I think if these pitchers are coming up every week and I have like a list of like five or six other ones that I'm interested in, and just like let them spend their money. It's still April and I'm going to get hopefully two or three of them instead of one of them on my team and just wait it out, I think. And Bibby might go for $300, but there's going to be a player that's going to be similar to him later. And I don't know what's going to happen with Bibby. I mean, you've seen what happened to Taj. So, I don't know. I think patience might be a virtue this year with all the rookies and how quickly they're coming up. But Taj does look like the best one, and I think he's going to be back up soon. To be honest with him, Let's get into.
You get Taj.
I got him in like not. I got him in one of the $1,500 auctions, but that's it. Like in the big, I'm in six big leagues. I'm in three auctions and three main events. I got him in one of the six. And then I got him in a couple other like smaller leagues. I got him for like 176. Backup bid was 69. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
So your player shares. Before we get into Jeopardy, let's talk about your player shares. You in your main events, you have three main events, and you have these players, you drafted these players in all three events. Suarez, we won't
talk
about him anymore. Ty France, Luis Garcia, and Miles Mikolas. Miles Mikolas pitched a great game today.
Love him. Mustache.
Yeah, you love everything that he stands for, right, Rick?
I love everything that he stands for, and if he wanted to rub that milk mustache on me,
Okay.
Excuse me.
So yeah, you know what? A lot of these Ty France, Luis Garcia, it looks like I'm. It kind of looks like I'm looking at Jason DuPont's team here because he was big on a lot of those. He was big on I know France and Garcia. Like I remember doing the Gladiators with him. It was just clockwork. Ty France, Luis Garcia on his teams. He loved them. So I guess you did too because you had him on all of the teams. Talk about those two guys and why. Talk about Ty France and Luis Garcia, Astros.
Okay, so Ty France, I just think he's a solid hitter. I think he's going to hit for a high average. He's not hitting for much power this year, but I just think he's going to be a solid contributor. I think he stole his first base this year, but I don't expect many more. But what was he, like 12th or 13th round, something like that. I think he's going to outperform that draft slot. Michaelis, I don't know how you say it. Anyway,
we don't care on this podcast how you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just like that his ratios were low and he did it pretty much the whole year. And I thought he was going to do it this year. And it's just, I don't know. It's been rough. Like you say, maybe today it would look good, but it's been rough. Luis Garcia, I liked him because I think the Astros like him. They were asking who they thought the most talented pitcher on their roster was. Is I think that they said Luis Garcia. So I think they're a smart organization. I thought that I could rack up the wins and that he'd be a solid contributor. And he wasn't the first three starts, but these last two, he's looked really good.
Right on.
And right, Jose Suarez, I wish I'd never said his name.
Yes, same here. I kept drafting him in DCs. And and you know, the shame is you can't drop him in DCs. And I looked at my rosters at the start of this week and I said he has got two starts. And it's rare that an Angel has two starts because they go on some sort of weird rotation. But they play seven games and one of them is against Oakland. So I'm like, how can I not start him on my teams? And I started him and not the DCs. And I, whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
It's awful.
I wouldn't ask for his autograph if I saw him. all right, Rick, we're gonna head into Jeopardy. Do you have music or do we have any other segments before Jeopardy that we have to do?
I did not know you were quite ready for that. But yeah, let's hop right into Jeopardy, boys.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'm gonna share my screen, James. And basically, you're going to be playing against Rick. And we got six or seven categories, and they're all going to be $100 categories. And I can tell you what categories they are if you can see my screen. And you can just jump in and say you want to. It's every man for themselves. No buzzer or anything like that. Just jump in. So here are the categories for Jeopardy. The first category is Ray Flowers' Significant Others. You know who Ray Flowers is, right?
I've heard him a little bit. I don't know him a lot.
I guess he's got some sort of an open, you know, and I don't criticize that if he's got an open, you know, marriage.
Okay. Michael Govier's Ears is the next category. I don't know if you're familiar with his recent video series. And then the third category is Madison Rusk. She works at Run Pure Sports.
I believe it's Rust, but go ahead.
Rust, yeah. Okay, my mistake. And then the next category is John Anderson. He is the guy that potentially made that burner account that made the analyst account, the top 35 analysts to drink beer with. Yancey's wife is the next category. And then Mike Simeone, who is SP streamer, is the next category. And then the last category is MTM Mike the Mouth. So, James, as our guest, you get to select the category.
Okay, I'll go Mike the Mouth.
Mike the Mouth. Oh, okay. Boy. So for $100, Mike the Mouth. So this category is players whose poor performance should regress to the mean, but haven't.
So Mike's not good at fantasy, is right. Kind of what you're saying. Is that right?
Rick, we don't need to explain everything.
Okay, well, I just...
All right. Go ahead. So this AL Central player has a BABIP below 250 for the previous six seasons.
Javi Lopez. Baez.
No. Negative 100 for you, Rick. James, do you have an answer?
He has a negative what?
No, he's a under 250 BABIP for the last six seasons. Yeah, no, Rick, I gave him negative 100 points because he answered wrong.
Last six. Who's been on there for last six?
In the AL Central, I think I said.
Oh, I was thinking Cleveland. Okay. Hunter Dozier.
No, it's the answer is Max Kepler.
Okay.
You guys think he's going to turn himself around? Like, you think he's ever going to? Everyone always thinks he's going to be like great and regress to the mean every year, and he never does.
I don't.
No. Okay. All right. You still have control of the board, James.
Okay. Let's go. Gauvier's ears.
All right. Gauvier's ears for 100. These are things that are blocked. Okay. So.
Okay.
Heading into today, this player led the minor leagues in home runs with 10.
Cock block. Let me think here. Jesus.
Anyone can jump in.
There's only two of us.
You can cheat too. Cheating's definitely encouraged on this show.
Can I cheat by saying someone who's already in the major leagues and that isn't correct, and you make it correct, and I'll say Brett Beatty?
No, that's not correct. But if you feel like that's cheating, then
I don't really know, man.
Okay, let me know if you think this guy's going to go for. What do you think this guy goes for in Fab if he ever gets called up? Joe Adell.
I'm not interested.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's he is leading the minor leagues in home runs until heading into today. I don't know if Chris Morel might have passed him today, but we won't talk about him. Okay. James, you got it. Okay. Thanks, Rick. Where are we heading for the categories here?
John Anderson.
So. This category is people who are not fooling anyone and appear to be bigots. So the question is, this is the only pitcher this year with over 10 innings pitched that has an ERA over 10, a K per 9 under 6, and a ground ball.
Madison, Rowan Gardner. Rust, I mean.
Yes, you're right. You're right, Rick. This is the first.
Yes.
We've done Jeopardy on the show many times. This might be the first or second time he's ever got an answer right.
I think it's number two or three, boys. So
nice, Rick. Yep. Madison Bumgarner. Yeah, you got it. I'll give it to you. Okay.
And that was quick.
Yeah, do you have the answer?
Oh, as soon as he said bigot, I knew which direction we were going. The other name would have been my favorite player of all time, Trevor Bauer, but he's been blackballed from the league, so.
All right. Well, you got control of the board.
Okay, I'm gonna go with the You know what? I can't pass up Yancey's wife. Let's go ahead and now he runs that account, correct?
Well, this category, Yancey's wife, this category is burners.
Oh, okay. Well, so, there you go.
It's a burner account. Right. So burners. So yeah, this player has the most home runs of all the players this season with at least three stolen bases. So for all the players that have at least three stolen bases, this player has the most home runs.
Altman, James Altman.
Nope. James, not correct.
Oh boy. That means the pressure's all on Big Daddy Rick. Okay, sorry, goo goo gaga. Let me think here. I'm gonna go with God, who's got speed? Oh man, this Ronnie Acuna.
No, that's not correct. The most home runs is Jared Kelenic. He has 7 home runs and 3 stolen bases. Would you consider him a sex pig, Rick?
I would, yes. Okay. Everybody's into him. Regression. Oh, I almost said monster, and that thing kind of freaks me out a little bit. So,
you scared of the regression monster?
We don't want to talk about that right now. Let's move on with the game.
Okay, so you got control of the board.
Oh, I'm going to go with Piss Streamer for 100, please.
Mike Simeone. So these are relievers in the pool. So like relievers in the free agent pool. So again, relievers you can probably pick up in free agency. So of all the pitchers with an XFIP under 3, minimum 5 innings pitched, so XFIP under 3, this is the player with the highest average fastball velocity aside from DeGrom, Chapman, Felix Bautista, and Duran. So again, XFIP under 3, highest fastball velocity, except for those four players that are obviously known for pitching very fast.
You want to ask us what somebody's batting average is in day games on Thursdays, whenever is what, you know.
The answer is he's on the Yankees. I'll give you that.
Oh, that Dago. Mastriano.
No.
Okay.
Yankees. And it's not Holmes.
Okay.
Someone else in their bullpen.
Someone else in their bullpen.
And by the way, Jason DuPont had messaged me and he recommended to spend at least $100 of fab on this player because he's probably going to take over the closer role in New York.
It's definitely Marinacci or whatever. It's that guy.
It's Yimi Cordero.
Damn it.
Yeah, that was obscure, but I just wanted to use the relievers in the pool reference for Simeone. I had to figure out a way to use it. Okay, Rick, you still got control of the board. There's two left.
Okay, well, I got to go with my lady here. My new, you know, and I got to be quiet about this, but I'll go with Madison Rust, please.
Okay, Madison Rust. These are enormous busts. So this first round pick is hitting 227 over his last 819 plate appearances.
Man, Machado.
No. Same team, though. Rick.
Oh. Is it Juan Soto?
Yeah. So Juan Soto is hitting 227 over his last 819 plate appearances. That ain't good. Damn. The strikeout rate's also like shot up like by 10% so far this year. Anyways. Last category here is, Rick, do you want to say it or do you want me to just roll it?
You go ahead and do it. Wait, am I still in control of the board?
You still have control of the board, but you don't have a choice. There's only one category left. Do you want to say it?
Well, I am going to say it because I have control. And there's not many domains that I get to have control in at this point in my life, Zach. So I would like if you follow the rules of the game. I'm going to go with Ray Flowers, significant others.
Please. Okay, these are blow-ups. So, blow-ups. This AL pitcher has the most earned runs, 9, which are 9 earned runs in a single game without issuing a walk. So of all the games this year, he has a game with the most earned runs without walking a batter, which is 9 earned runs.
Kenny Maeda.
That's a good guess, but it's not him. He had, I think, 10 earned runs the other day. It's an American League East pitcher.
American League.
Jose Berríos.
Right team, wrong player.
Jesus.
Is it Kikuchi?
Nope, it's Bassett.
Oh, wow.
Bassett's, he's improved, though. His velocity has been brought up. I wrote him off for dead. I would have dropped him. Well, I don't know if I would have dropped him. I would have dropped him in a 12-team league, but he seems better now. Kikuchi actually seems good, too. So that's it. We, I don't know who won that game, but it was fun.
I think we went a tied. I think, is there a final Jeopardy or?
No, I didn't do a final Jeopardy. Do you have any? Okay. Yeah, no, unless you've prepared something, Rick. I don't have final Jeopardy. So
no,
anything?
No.
Are we done here, Rick? James, thanks for coming on, but I just want to check with Rick that we don't have any other segments or anything like that.
I'm all done. I didn't know if you had anything else for Mr. Syrup. If not, you know, we can certainly let him go, and he's been a terrific guest, and you and I can kind of finalize some things off the air.
Okay. So, James, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. It's been a while since we podcasted, but I think you did great, and I think people are, and you're a very accomplished, smart player. And after talking in Vegas, I'm like, I got to get this guy on the podcast. People are going to enjoy listening to him, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And
Rick, hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime, buddy.
We appreciate it. Good luck with the restaurants, and good luck with your fantasy teams.
All right. Thanks, Cass.
All right.
Now, Zach, you are still there, correct?
I am still here, yes.
So I guess we've got, if you want to introduce these other boys, I guess they need to have it out. There's been a tweeter war going on between these gentlemen, and well, we've got them here to duke it out, and I'll let you kind of roll with it here.
Who okay, I think we have, I know a good friend of James, too bad they couldn't be on at the same time, but we have Gecko Industries on Twitter. And we also have I think they've been going at it. We have Matthew Davis as well on coming on the podcast. So
I don't have access to his Twitcher account. I've been blocked by him for one reason or another. But yeah, let me go ahead and bring both gentlemen up. And okay, here we go. Mr. Gecko Sparrow, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, and Mr. Matty, is it Wood? I don't know. Davis, are you here?
It's Davis.
Okay, gentlemen, have it out.
Well, yeah. This is Mark.
Clown,
and
clown,
I know they're
clown.
You know, you see, you call me a clown, and I want to know why. Okay, well, what is the beef that you've got with me, Mr. Wood?
Well, obviously, you're just spouting out this information, and you're trying to persuade people, and I'm trying to, you know, do a podcast, and me and Vladdy are just trying to do a podcast, and you know, we're on the up and up, and you're not.
Okay, well, what I've got to say to you is I owe nothing to anyone. I don't have a paid service. I am a man on Twitter who decides to share his thoughts when he pleases. And, you know, it's funny to me, the last tweet of mine that I saw that you had retweeted with a clown symbol, very professional and very thought-provoking, as it were, was really just me kind of giving my overall thoughts and my overall synopsis on the Mason Miller situation in Oakland. Can you explain with specifics what was, a joke or a clown type situation with that tweet to me?
Well, you know what, we find it funny that you'd say something like that, because I fell asleep last night on the couch and on the iPad, and just watching my iPad, and I had a dream about Mason Miller, and you know what, he spun a 7-inning gym, and it's not what you're saying, and you know, that's my story.
I gotta be honest, I don't even know what you're talking about here, but what's your issue with me? That's what I really want to know. I want you to understand, I don't run a paid service, okay? I'm not shilling anything. I just like to share my thoughts free for the people on Twitter. You know, I'm an honest person. You know, there's nothing you can read between the lines when you read some of my stuff, but I consider myself to be very prepared. And yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I don't know, is it that you're not as good of a player as me? I'm just trying to figure out what the issue is here.
Well, the thing is, with you, I feel like what's up is down, and what's down is up, and stop is going, and go is stop. You know. And when I have a paid service, and I'm giving out all my information, and you're just trying to use Twitter to, you know, serve your own purpose.
Okay, I mean, I've got nothing else for you here, bud.
Boys, I don't know. Is there another way that we can hash this out? I don't know. Is there any other issues that you have with him, Mr. Davis? I just, you know, I got to give points to Mr. Sparrow. I mean, he did say that when you retweet him, all you do is put a clown symbol. You don't really, you know, provide any insight or, you know, break it down or anything like that. Do you have anything other than that you fell asleep with your iPad and had a dream? You know, is there anything, you know, concrete you need to say?
Well, Rick is it? I'd say that's pretty
concrete. My name is Rick. Yeah, I know you don't know because you blocked me.
See, that's pretty concrete.
Okay, gentlemen, I've got more important things to do. I think we all now see who the clown is on this show. And Sparrow, excuse me, my name is Mark, out.
Okay, he just dropped the call. Now, I don't know if Mr. Davis is still there, but Mr. Sparrow has left.
No, I think they both are gone. If you want to resend a token to them, but that's about it.
I mean, I don't really know what the debate was.
I don't understand. Not really sure what was going on there.
Okay. Well,
do we have anyone else to bring on? Like, are there any other debates to?
I don't necessarily see any other debates, but I do have another name listed here of a guest that did want to come on. This is somebody who has been making some podcast rounds, and according to the notes here, has actually been taking a sabbatical from fantasy. Yeah, he has been taking a sabbatical from fantasy baseball to pursue, I guess, some sort of, I see some notes here about improv. I'm not really sure. His name is, his name is Dean Karn. And I don't know if you've heard of, have you heard of this guy, Zach?
No, I have not. Should we meet him?
Well, I'm going to bring him up. And I want, if you want to do a little interview session with him about where he's at with fantasy baseball. I guess he's a longtime NFBC player and he's been in some professional leagues and stuff like that. So we'll go ahead and bring him up here. Let me get him. Yep. Dean, are you there? Hey, hey guys. Dean Karn here. How's it going?
What's up, Dean? So Rick speaks highly of you. Are you, a really good player, apparently?
You know, I've been playing this game for a long time. Okay. I don't know Rick all that well, but what I can tell you is after my sabbatical, I took some time off. I talked to the Maharaji. I talked to a shaman. And what I realized is we all need to let our ego go in this game. Okay. I'm here. Let's make fantasy baseball fun again. Okay? I'm trying to bring the fun back into fantasy baseball. Remember when we used to have fun?
I always had fun, man. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Does anybody remember laughter? You know, that's something that I just I see all these fights, like with the gentleman that we just heard a few moments ago. We need to bring fun back into this game. And, I've been listening to most of this podcast and it's, very serious. You gentlemen, wear your button-up ties and, are really stern in your opinions, and there's no joking around from what I could hear. We need to make it fun again.
So when you're drafting, Dean, like, what would be a fun thing to do when you're drafting? Like, do you think of it, like, does anything, like go off in your head? Do any bells ring and, like, oh, this is fun, so I'm going to draft this player?
Well, I'll tell you right now, in every single one of my leagues this year, okay, I actually took Josh Hader in the first round. Okay. Now you may look at the different draft boards and you may say, you could have gotten him at number 35 or whatever it may be. I took Josh Hader in the first round because I look at a guy who had some drama last year. Okay. He got traded.
Is the gentleman?
Rick, is he there?
I'm trying to get him.
He got traded from the Milwaukee Brewers to the San Diego Padres. And, this guy went through a lot. And what I know is when somebody is battle tested, okay, you know what Winston Churchill said, Zach?
I don't know what you're referencing, so please enlighten.
Okay, well, I've been workshopping a Winston Churchill character in my improv class. And he said, Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going. I look at what's going on with Josh Hader, and I say he is going to come out with the fire of an old English battle boy or whatever Winston Churchill was. Okay. I just had to read the notes for the script. But I said to myself, this guy is going to come out swinging this year. What is Josh Hader doing? Would anybody like to look up his stat page and tell me where he ranks as far as all the players in the leagues? That's right. He's got the number one saves in the league right now. And, you know, you may say, oh, you didn't need to take Josh Hader in the first round. It didn't matter to me. It was all about the safety of the pick. And I knew that this guy was going to have what it takes. Okay. Zach, do you know what psilocybin mushrooms are?
No, I don't.
Okay. What I want you to do is I want to get you on a microdose regimen. Because I see that you're not, I can feel, you know, when I put my hand up to my computer monitor, it's almost as if it's on your chest and on your beating heart. Okay. And I can tell from your essence and it just, you know, kind of the vibe and the aura of you and your chakras and all that shit. I can tell that you're just fucked in the head, my friend. And I hate to, you know, I hate to put it.
All right. Well, Dean,
what is going on?
I appreciate all this. And like, it seems like you're very, very much believing in all these things you're saying. And you said you were an actor. Do you take anything from like your life as an actor and say like, this is how I acted when I was playing Winston Churchill or something like that. And you're going to say that lesson is going to help me in fantasy baseball. Like, you know, of course, and you got to take the ego out of it too. Right. While you're doing.
Yeah. It. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you asked that, Zach. So I'm part of a local improv group here in my town. I'm in the greater Los Angeles area. And with where I'm living right now, it's not my optimal living situation. So I am in a group called the Skid Row Players. And yes, it is on Skid Row in Los Angeles. And we've got a great group of guys and gals and theys and all kinds of things that come together. And we do an improv class. And you asked me, did my experience playing Winston Churchill or some of my other improv, how does that carry over to fantasy baseball? Well, I'll tell you this recent story. I'm on Skid Row in Los Angeles. Okay. This is what I've got going on right now. I live in a tent. And I was in our group the other day, and there's this woman. Her name is Sadie. She's a meth addict, you know, as many people on Skid Row are. And she actually overtook me, for the Winston Churchill role. Now, you may say she is a woman. She's addicted to methamphetamine. Here I am, you know, a sober, regular man. And it was a humbling experience for me. You know, I had to look across the room as this woman just kind of had drool just coming out of her mouth. And I had to see my improv teacher, and he had to say to me, Dean, you've been overtaken by Sadie. And I was humbling. Okay. So I said, I need to come off of this sabbatical. I need to get back into fantasy baseball. I need to rid myself of the ego, and I need to take Josh Hader in round one. Okay. So I hope that answers your question.
Dean, I love the Josh Hader round one call. Like, you honestly like seem like a genius.
You know, I don't take those comments lightly, Zach. And what I'd like to say is I am a bit of an empath. I am a genius. And I have got a little group that I'm starting out here in Los Angeles for any young, aspiring fantasy baseball players.
Okay? Is it called Mensa?
Well, you know, I'm still working on a name. You know, we want to make sure we get this thing right. Okay. I'm going to invite them all out, particularly if you are a man who's got a young, attractive woman in your life, or maybe your wife or something like that. Come on out. We serve Kool-Aid every Thursday. And, you know, I'm just going to kind of preach to you and tell you how to better your life. And if that sounds attractive to you, you can send me an email. I am dean.karn Excuse me? I am at dean.karn at psilocybin.com. Okay, we're going to get you boys on a psilocybin mushroom regimen. It's going to totally change your life so we can rid you of the demons that somebody like Zach here has going through his head, and likely, I'm sure, that Rick character too. And we're going to get you boys to rid yourself of the ego. Okay.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate that. And it was great to meet you, Dean. I feel like starstruck, honestly.
Well, you know, you should. And I look forward to you and your listeners sending me some emails. We'll get you all set up. I've got a commune that has begun out here. We've got plenty of, men with, kind of weak men with wives that I'm, meeting with and taking care of and, taking in right now. So, send me an email and good luck to all of you this season.
Thanks. Rick, do we have anyone else? Were you, Jason Zuckerman and Errol Kahn in the lobby?
I don't know who those people are. Who?
Jason Zuckerman, he authored a book called The Results, and then Errol Kahn, he has a projection system, right? Called ETC.
Yes. Let me bring these gentlemen up. So we've got an author of a book, and we've got somebody who has their very own projection system. They are both here. And gentlemen, go ahead and go. Mr. ETC, are you there?
Hi there. How are you doing? Jason, I'm so glad we're on this panel. Thanks for having us on the Draft Champions podcast.
Okay, well, let me bring up, what is it, Mr. Zuckerman, Zach? Is that the name you're seeing here?
That's what I'm seeing, Zuckerman here. Do you see him?
Hi, this is Mr. Zuckerman. How's everybody? I got an invite here at the last second, and,
Well, long time no see, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, Aretha? I know that, how's your season going so far?
Well, first place in three leagues, the fourth one, sometimes the projections, they're intra and extra, they don't always pan out, but I do my best, I think it's just because it wasn't an auction. When I do the auctions, if I want somebody to draft Jacob DeGrom, I say, you're going to draft Jacob DeGrom, and you're going to draft him, and they're hypnotized.
Okay,
I did read your book, and I love the book. Raven loves the book. Raven Geis loves the book.
Okay, well, I call those salary cap graphs, and I was out by the fire the other night, and I was reading a book. And I realized that,
what the hell is going on? I don't, this is Rick Poundstone.
Speak up, Jason. Jason, he can tell a story, I can tell a story. I was playing. Go ahead, Jason.
I need to get to the point, and I guess I need to say, we all know what you're doing with your system. And,
Excuse me? What system?
I object to it. I'm not going to get into the specifics on air, but we all know what you're doing, and, it's not very good.
Now tell me, what's not good?
Boys, we might have to censor this conversation. Somebody's going to get themselves legal trouble. I don't want this happening.
Listen. Four innings pitched, zero earned runs, and one run, two for three at the plate. Then,
These are your pickleball stats, I don't.
No, pickleball was after that. Okay, Jason. Don't disrespect ETC. Errol Kahn's projection system.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to get going. I've already blocked the host of this show. And I'm going to have to block you too, Ethereal. There's just some things I need to get off my chest that I guess this Rick gentleman has told me I should not say, so.
Well, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave too. So thanks for listening. And I'll see you on the pickleball court.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah, so those guys are gone.
What was the point of that? Like, what was the point of that?
I don't know. I don't know who they were. Zach, what you don't understand, I have a queue of people trying to get on this goddamn podcast every single week. Lined out the door.
I can't even imagine if there's anyone else on here, but we probably have to go soon.
Yeah, I don't have anybody else.
I don't have anyone else at my sleeve here.
Okay, well, I think we pretty much are ready to go. If you enjoy the Draft Champion Odds podcast and you're listening to this on Spotify, what I need you to do is go ahead and hover your thumb right over your anus and shove it on up there, because we don't care, you know, if you give us a 5-star, a 1-star, you know, whatever you want to do. We do what we do, and we don't care what you think. Okay? Zach, anything else you want to say?
No, I think we should end it, though. Thanks, Rick. And James Maples, like our guest of honor, is great as well. So hope you all enjoyed it, and good luck in the season.
Good luck, everybody.
Okay, can we get Ariel out of here? That is Ariel, right? DVR, can you just move Ariel? Like, you're with him, right? Can you just move him and get him out of the studio, please?
Without even understanding what a terrestrial mover is, know that that's what I am as opposed to an aerial mover. Like, I'm not an aerial mover.
All right. Well, actually, you know what? I missed a listener question. I think we just got to hammer it out now that we have everyone here and anyone can respond. Like, you know, DBR, whatever, all the panel can respond. It's from Christian Bethencourt from Team Panama. He's basically saying that everyone's telling him that his team's like spring training and WBC's like equivalent to spring training. Like, you guys agree or disagree on that?
Thank you for the question, Chris. You have to think, you know, there is actually pretty inconsistent quality of opposition in the WBC. It is not unlike spring training. And I wouldn't necessarily look at spring training slugging numbers. So, yeah, bad process for me on that one, if that really made my decisions.
All right, thanks. There you have it. WBC is pretty much like spring training, and there's I don't see anyone arguing against that. I think, Rick, do you want to – now that we've got everyone around here, Rick, do you want to field some questions here?
Okay, so I've got a couple of gentlemen here. This is Rick Poundstone, and I just wanted to ask a couple of questions here. We've got a huge star-studded panel of all kind of fantasy basketball people. Right here we have got Maddie Woodivis. We've got Vlad Sadler, we've got Pauly Shore, and we've got Jason Mason. And I really want to jump into this Dodgers sex scandal, okay? We've got all men from the Dodgers going on the Papa list, okay? And it begs the question, what exactly was the event that happened a mere 9 months ago, where a large, clearly an orgy of some sort took place between many of the Dodgers players and some women, you know? And, you know, we're remiss if we don't say, here we've got Trevor Bauer overseas blackballed from the league for similar behavior, and we are now congratulating all these gentlemen. So I want to start out with Vlad Sadler and Maddie, and then I want to transition into specifically this Evan Phillips situation with Pauly Shore and Jason Mason. So tell me about this, boys.
Gratterall, all these guys going on paternity leave around the same time. Timeline sets back to the All-Star game in Los Angeles. And I don't know. I don't know what really is there to say about it. It's obviously not like, I don't know. I don't think it was like a planned thing. And I don't know, whatever orgy jokes I hear don't really make sense, because it's like, you know, they all got their wives pregnant individually, right? But it's just weird, right? It's just kind of, you know, the timing of it.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Maybe Maddie can describe like how you would like individually get your wife pregnant. Just specifically how the sex works, like for the listeners that don't know. Like, maybe he just can explain how sex works, and
And yeah, like if, and talk about how funny it was about, yeah, Bellinger being part of that now too.
Yeah, it, well, there's time off and so they get to spend more time with their family. And I'm assuming that, well, no assumption needed. It's factual, that they were able to spend some intimacy with their loved ones. So, it is ironic that they are all, going out with that. I think it's the funniest part for me was when we saw that Cody Bellinger was not in the lineup tonight for the Chicago Cubs because he was then put on the paternity list. It's once a Dodger, always a Dodger, I guess. So,
oh no, Evan Phillips went from the paternity to the bereavement. I'm not trying to be funny. I hope it's not related.
I hope so too. That's sad or scary.
Yeah, like that's crazy. I don't want to say hopefully, but it'd be better of the two options if it's just a death of, you know, a 99-year-old grandfather or something.
Okay, Rick, time to interrupt them. Come on, man, like learn how to interview, Rick. Like that's when you interrupt.
Okay, and I am now here. This is Rick Poundstone, and I am here with DVR. That's what the notes say. I'm not sure if it's like a recording device or what exactly we've got here. And Anoceros. And I want to ask you, gentlemen, you know, other than advanced metrics and all the stats and blah, 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 all the crap and the baseball savant and the, you know, Fangraphs and all these things that people are using, what do you use? What's your edge to finding out what might be going on with a player beyond the stat page?
Watching the body language of players is something that Ian Khan probably does better than anybody I know. That's kind of part of his training as an actor. He can read people really well. I find it hard to do, but on the extremes, I can see when someone's pressing. Jared Kelenic, you could see, was pressing. Chris Sale, when he's punching water coolers and breaking TVs, he's not his best self above the shoulders when that's happening. It helps to have the right mindset.
Yeah, well, I'm off of sale because the stuff plus numbers are terrible, but yeah. You know.
Dude, I think it's so cool that you can apply everyday life concepts to fantasy and like talk about applying your fantasy knowledge or fantasy healthcare expertise to everyday life. Like flip that. Now, you're applying everyday life to fantasy, but can you apply your fantasy medical expertise to everyday life? Like, does that ever happen?
Watching Little League recently, our stud pitcher last night in the win, I could tell he was like, you know, doing some stuff. And it's funny because the kids are like, I feel like almost all the kids who are pitching like are hurting.
They're all hurt, yeah.
Because they're like every pitch they're like doing, flexing their hand and doing weird things, and I'm like, oh, is he hurt? And so like I was watching him and he was doing some of the regular stuff, but then he kept like adjusting his jersey on his shoulder, and I was like, coach, you need to go talk to him. And then like 3 seconds later he like called for the coach. He's like, I did something to my shoulder, you know.
Yeah.
And so there is, I think you'll notice it's more hyper aware in the major leagues. As soon as a pitcher starts walking around the mound doing something weird with his hand, someone pops out of the dugout.
Yo, nice victory lap on that child's injury. It's good that you knew that. Wasn't it happening in Houston? Wasn't Ryan Pressly like shaking his arm and then now somebody else is getting saves? What do you guys think about that situation?
I think Brady got back-to-back saves too over the weekend. So,
oh, that's huge! That's huge. Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, so
I don't get to watch Houston games, so I it's like a blank spot. Even though I live in the fucking state, so
it was a blank spot for me too this morning when I was answering questions. I was like, oh no, I think Montero's next man up. But yeah, like,
wait, he got two saves.
Saves this weekend. Like, oh.
Yo, not watching the game is not really an excuse for not knowing that like Abreu got two saves. Like, you can look at the box scores, right?
Maybe
I also don't need saves, so that also makes it a blind spot for me that I'm not dialed in on every little save. But yeah, Abreu.
All right, last question. Dave, you haven't really said much. Who would you rather go to for personal advice? James Anderson or Matty Davis?
And I talked to you know, our other buddy James Anderson about guys a lot.
Ouch. How does that make you feel, Maddie, that he's going to James Anderson for advice?
Big blow to me.
Hey, I wouldn't get too bummed out about that, Maddie. But whoa, what is going on there, Rick? I see you better mute yourself. Like, does anyone else see what I'm seeing here in Rick's house? What's going on? Or wherever he is? Jesus Christ. Like, can anyone describe what's going on there? What do you see? Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Young 16 screaming young 10, 11 year olds.
Okay, that just about wraps things up, and we'll see you guys later.